Bible. What he did was he took a razor blade, I'm told, and he cut out his favorite verses, things like the 23rd Psalm he cut out and glued that in, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and he glued them together. He liked the teachings of Jesus and he added those. But he eliminated all the miracles of Jesus. He didn't include in the Bible that he glued together. He didn't have one of the miracles. Do you believe in miracles?
Yes.
Are you better than Thomas Jefferson then, maybe? Thomas Jefferson ended his version of the Bible by cutting out the rolling of the stone in front of the tomb on Easter Sunday. That's not included. That's taking the heart out of the Bible. Do you believe in miracles? Have I asked you that question? I don't remember. A quote from Mark Twain, not that he's a biblical scholar, but he said something interesting. It is not the part of the Bible that I don't understand that scares me. He said, it's not the part of the Bible that I don't understand that scares me. It's the part I do understand. Makes you think a little bit there. Do you clip verses out of the Bible that are too radical, too supernatural to believe? It's just beyond our ability to comprehend or to duplicate what's going on. Are we like Thomas Jefferson? We believe in the teachings of Jesus, but we subtract the miracles, and what we're left with is a weak Jesus. We have a very intelligent, wise Jesus, but we have a weak Jesus when we eliminate all the miracles. The power is missing. I started with a question. You remember what the question was I asked you? Do you believe in miracles? That's right. The scripture verse today that I've chosen is not preached on very often, but it's perhaps the most earth-shaking verse. At least it's the most earth-shaking verse to me. John 14:12. John 14:12. Jesus said, whoever believes in me, Jesus said, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. Whoever believes in me. Do you believe in Jesus?
Yes.
Do you believe in miracles?
Yes.
Whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. Now listen, and will do even greater things than these. Wow. Have you ever heard a sermon preached on that verse? I never did. Let me repeat that. Listen to what Jesus says. Whoever believes in me, Jesus said, will do the works I have been doing, and they will be even greater things than these. Are you skeptical? They're the words of Jesus. You have to be skeptical with Jesus. That's a powerful statement. Only Jesus can perform a miracle, so the Lord gets all the credit. Now listen to this statement. However, nearly every miracle that's in the Gospels has a human element. Every miracle that's in the New Testament, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, have a human element. Sometimes you have to do the natural before Jesus does the supernatural. You get that? Sometimes you have to do the natural before Jesus does the supernatural. What was the first miracle recorded in the Gospels that Jesus did? Just shout. I'm an ex-school teacher, so I'm used to people. Turning water into wine. We were at a wedding last week. They didn't serve wine. This is not my notes here, but I'll tell you anyway. I'm going to write a book someday. The weird things that happen at weddings, and chapter 2, the weird things that happen at funerals. Talk about wedding today. Last Saturday, our grandson got married. And Sunday morning, they were flying out to Jamaica for their honeymoon. The wedding was in Chicago. He's a youth pastor in Indianapolis. He gets to the airport. It's Parkinson's. He gets to the airport to go through check-in and security to fly to Jamaica. He's in Chicago. His passport is in Indianapolis. Oh. So they went on their honeymoon a day late. That's my book I'm going to write someday. That'll be in it. You'll say, I read that somewhere already. Now you know where. Let's get back to my notes. Sometimes you have to do the natural before the Lord does the supernatural. Now, the first miracle that Jesus performed, we said, was turning the water into wine at a wedding feast. Now, here's how I picture it. Jesus is aware of the need, but he doesn't do anything about it. His mother says he has a need. And there's probably waiters serving dinner, and Jesus calls them over and says, come here a second, guys. I want you to take these pitchers. There's six pitchers. They're large 30-gallon jugs. I want you to fill them with water. Now, I wonder if they would have said, wait a minute. We got to serve the main course right now. That's what we got to do. And after that, we got to clean up, and then they cut the cake. So after they've had the main course and clean up the dishes and cut the cake, then we'll fill the water with in the jugs. I wonder what would have happened if they would have said that. But what happened? Did Jesus fill the jugs with water? No, he had somebody else do it. What if they wouldn't have done it? I think of questions like that. I think of weird questions. What would have happened? There's a human part, a natural part to a miracle, and there's supernatural. So now they fill it with water, and Jesus just says, take a cupful to the hostess, to the master of ceremony. And of course, it's the best stuff. Now my question is, when did the water turn into wine? I don't have an answer. I just have questions today. Did it when they scooped it out, when he sampled it? Jesus, for 30 years, had been the best carpenter in the world, best furniture maker there ever was. I'm sure he never had a table that wobbled or a chair that wobbled. But now he becomes the best winemaker. And he makes the best wine. Now, normally, I'm not sure how long it takes to make wine. I'm not familiar with wine. I'm a good Nazarene. But it takes... How many years do you have to grow a grape harbor? And how many years does it take to make wine? 3 to 5 years? I don't know how long it takes. And Jesus just did it instantly. But I wonder if we'd be hearing about this miracle today, if they hadn't filled the jugs with water, if they hadn't scooped them out and taken them, they might have said to the master, this is just a bucket of water. So a miracle occurred. This is the first of 34 miracles that are recorded in the gospel. I wonder if there's some unrecorded miracles. I wonder if there's some miracles that Jesus would have recorded if somebody would have partaken of it. I don't have an answer. I just have questions today. Do you need a miracle in your life? Don't seek a miracle. Follow Jesus. Don't seek a miracle. Follow Jesus, because this will be the greatest miracle of all. Whatever your need would be met through Jesus. Everyone wants a miracle, but no one wants to be in the situation where you need a miracle. Let me repeat that. Everybody wants to see a miracle, but I don't think anybody wants to be in a situation where you need a miracle. I don't want Parkinson's, but I need a miracle. Do you know how many people have been cured of Parkinson's? So I'd be the first one.
Amen.
At that wedding day, they ran out of wine. Serious need. If someone had ordered enough wine, they wouldn't have had that need. Here's a thought-provoking quote. Sometimes you have to do the natural before the Lord does the supernatural. Sometimes you have to do the natural. Fill the jugs with water. That seems like a simple task. Sometimes you have to do the natural before Jesus does the supernatural. Maybe I should start the sermon by saying defining what a miracle is. A miracle is a violation of natural law. A miracle is a violation of natural law. Those jugs of water could have stood there forever. They would have just been jugs of water. A violation of natural law. I had two thoughts on natural law. I broke my foot one time playing basketball. I went to the doctor. He put a cast on and said, I'll see you in 8 weeks. What? 8 weeks? Now, he did the natural, putting a cast on it. For 8 weeks, the Lord did the supernatural. They don't know why the bones knitted together again. In fact, did you know if you break a bone and it knits together, it's stronger than the original? Huh. We do the natural, put a cast on it, and then Jesus does the supernatural, gets the men together. You ever cut yourself where you need a stitch? You go to the doctor, he puts a stitch in it and says, come back in a week. Or am I supposed to do something? No, just come back in a week, it'll be all better. We do the natural, Jesus does the supernatural. I don't think they understand what makes the skins come back together again, because Jesus is a great healer. Water into wine, natural law, grapes, 3 to 5 years. Jesus is telling the servant to take a cup to the host. Question, what if the servant was too busy to follow Jesus' instructions? Are you ever too busy to follow Jesus' instructions? I'd love to come to church today, but I just got to mow that lawn. Or I'd say, I'd love to come to church today, but I want to go golfing. Jesus telling the servant to take a cup of water to the host. Question, what if the servant was too busy to follow Jesus' instructions? Would I be preaching this sermon today? If the human part of a miracle hadn't happened, would there be a supernatural part? Let me repeat that. If we hadn't done the natural part of the miracle, would there be a supernatural part? Let me give you another example. You ever hear Jesus tell in the Gospels about the woman with the issue of blood? Yep. And she'd been going to the doctors for how many years? 12 years she's been going. She spent all her money and nothing happened. Now, if Jesus is walking through a village, we're told, and there's a big crowd around him, do you think that a woman is off to the side? Do you think Jesus knew she was there? Does Jesus separate the crowd and say, wait a minute, I want to go help this woman? What happens? The woman fights her way through the crowd and reaches out, and what does he touch? The hem of the garment. And what does Jesus do? Well, she does the natural part, falls at Jesus' feet, and Jesus does the supernatural part of healing her. And my question is, I don't have an answer, but the question is, would Jesus have healed her if she hadn't fallen away and fell at his feet and touched his garment? Would that be included in the Gospels? Would that be one of the 34 miracles that Jesus did if that wasn't included in the Bible? Have you ever experienced something like that? How about the leper? Now, the leper fights his way through the crowd. Jesus is walking along again in the midst of a crowd. Do you think he knew the leper was there? The leper falls at his feet, and Jesus reaches out and touches him. Would the leper been healed if he hadn't done the natural, and Jesus did the supernatural? One of the last miracles did was he's walking through Jerusalem, heading down to, he's walking through Jericho, heading down toward Jerusalem for the last time he's going to be crucified. And as he's walking along, there's a large crowd and there's a lot of shouting and people, commotion. And there's a blind man sitting off to the side, blind his whole life. He's 38 years old. His name is Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus yells at somebody, what's going on? And he said, Jesus is coming by. So what does Bartimaeus do? He starts shouting, Jesus, Jesus. And everybody says, shh, be quiet. Stifle it. Jesus, Bartimaeus keeps shouting louder. Suppose Bartimaeus hadn't shouted out. Suppose he would have just sat there and Jesus walked by. Do you think Jesus would have stopped? I don't know. That's a question. I don't have the answer to the question. But with Bartimaeus shouting out, Jesus stops and tells everybody to get aside. And Bartimaeus is healed. He sees after 38 years. My question today is, another question I don't have an answer is, well, first of all, I have an answer to this question. How many Gospels are there? Matthew, Mark, I'm a teacher, you can shout out the answers. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So how many are there?
Four,
that's right. Now my question is, would there be 5 or 6 miracles because Jesus had more miracles to record if we had done the natural part? I don't know. What do you think? You're afraid they shout an answer out, huh? Excuse me, I'm going to call you on you. So Jesus goes, heals Bartimaeus, goes through Jericho, goes down the hill into Jerusalem, and his best friend has died. Who's his best friend?
Lazarus.
And how many days has Lazarus been dead?
4 days.
That's a whole separate sermon, why he has to be dead 4 days. We won't get into that today. But some things I like in the King James, say he wants to, Jesus wants somebody to open up the tomb, and they, in the King James version, they say, he stinketh. That's a good word. They don't use that word in the modern translation. They have a more polite word. But now suppose, here comes Jesus, here's this stone rolled in front of the grave where Lazarus stinketh, and there's a couple guys standing off to the side, probably mourning also, and Jesus says, psst, guys, take the stone away. Whoa, wait a minute, he's dead, I don't want to open the grave up. Wonder if Lazarus would have been healed if they wouldn't have done it. I wonder if Jesus would have done it. I don't know, that's a question I don't have an answer to. But they roll it away, and Lazarus, in his grave clothes, looks like a mummy, comes and stands at the entrance. Now what does Jesus ask him to do? He says to these guys, unwrap him. Whoa, wait a minute. How many days has he been dead? And what does he do? You like saying that word, huh? Would Jesus have healed Lazarus? If he didn't roll the stone away, if they didn't unwrap him, I don't know. All I do know is that the men did do the natural part, and Jesus did the supernatural part. There are 7 miracles in the Gospel of John: water to wine, walking on water, feeding the 5,000, the blind man healed, the woman with the issue of blood, Lazarus. But the single greatest miracle is the forgiveness of sins. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
That's not a debate. That's a statement. But the single greatest miracle is the forgiveness of sin made possible through the crucifixion and resurrection of our sinless Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe the miracles that Jesus are not revealed what Jesus has done in the past, but what he wants to do in the future and in the present tense. Turning the water into wine is epic, but it's just the beginning. Each one of us needs a miracle of a higher spiritual step. That's the New Testament. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, does the supernatural. What about the Old Testament? Any miracles in the Old Testament? Let's see what it says about the Old Testament. Zechariah 4:6. Not by might nor by power. Did you ever hear this? Not by might nor by power, but how? But by my
Spirit.
Let's say that again. Not by might nor by power, but by my
Spirit,
says the Lord Almighty. In the New Testament is Jesus. In the Old Testament is still the Holy Spirit doing it. Once the Holy Spirit is brought in, it means you have crossed over from the natural to the supernatural. Moses and the nation of Israel, they've been released by Pharaoh. Several million people are fleeing Egypt. They come to the Red Sea, and they look over the shoulder, and Moses looks over the shoulder, and Pharaoh changed his mind. He wants them back. And they got no place to go. They can't go back because the army's after them. They'll kill them. They can't go forward because the Red Sea is blocking them. So what does Moses do? He has a staff, a wooden staff. That's the natural. He holds it up. And what happens to the Red Sea? It divides. See, if we do the natural, holding a staff, I could stand here all day and hold the staff and nothing much would happen. But by the Red Sea, Moses followed instructions and the Red Sea divided. That's the supernatural. And they walked over on dry, I like this, on dry ground. And they came to the other side. And they got to the other side and Miriam, his sister, is there. And her and a bunch of ladies start playing a tambourine. Anybody bring a tambourine today? When I pastored in Virginia, I preached a sermon on Miriam and the tambourine and how all the women played the tambourine. I said, wouldn't it be great? If anybody has a tambourine at home, bring it out next Sunday. I had five tambourines. I had a tambourine band. One thing about it, you don't have to read notes. It's never out of tune. And it rhymes up the whole service. Now, Joyce knows my musical skills. They're truly amazing. And when I was here morning prayer, I cheated. I opened my eyes. And I saw the tambourine. And these ladies played the tambourine. Well, actually, you know who played the tambourine? The kids sat in the front row, and the kids played it. And you know what happened? The whole service went whoosh, because they did the natural, and the Holy Spirit did the supernatural. So here's Miriam and the ladies with the tambourine. So next Sunday, oh, I had an idea. This is just for you guys. Don't anybody let the secret out. Next Sunday, everybody has a tambourine, bring it. And when Pastor Dave starts to preach, we'll whip it out. And see what happens. Now let's see who's really brave. I lost my place. Oh, so Miriam is there singing, and here comes the army, the Egyptian army coming across on dry ground in the ocean, and she starts singing and dancing. Oh, dancing. Oh, let's skip that one. We'll just play the tambourine, no dancing, unless you want to. So Miriam sees it, and Moses sees the enemy coming, so he raises his staff, and Miriam's playing the tambourines, and the water closes in on Pharaoh and his army. When we do the natural, you wonder, did I ask you this question? Do you believe in miracles?
Yes.
Have you seen a miracle recently? Have you held up your staff? Have you shaken your tambourine lately? So for 40 years, they wander in the desert, wandering in circles, waiting for another miracle. They get to the, after 40 years, Moses has passed away. Joshua is now leading the nation of Israel. And they have one more obstacle. They got to cross the Red Sea, not the Red Sea, they got to cross the Jordan River to cross into the Promised Land. Now, normally the Jordan River isn't very big, especially in the dry season. It's only a couple inches deep, and they can easily walk across it. But God calls them, the Holy Spirit calls them to cross the Red Sea, of course, during flood stage. That's typical. We can't do it during the dry season, can we, God? We have to do it during flood, where it's rushing and raging, and we might drown. So the Lord has instructions for him. He says, get all the spiritual leaders of the nation. In other words, get the board members. Okay, board members, we've got instructions for you to do. We want you to go first. I'd rather have the kids go first. So Moses is dead. Joshua says, okay, all church leaders come, and here's what I want you to do. Take your big toe and stick it in the water. And what happens? The river stops up several miles away, and they can cross on dry land. Now, this was the church leaders, pretty good church leaders. I wonder if we have good church leaders here, if they're willing to do that. We'll have a test next week, see if you bring your tambourine. And they cross on dry. They did the natural, and the Holy Spirit does the supernatural. Do we still have miracles like that happening today? They have one more obstacle to overcome. They cross the river, fine, dandy, everything is good. They get to the other side, and there's a city there. A big city. You know what the city is?
Jericho.
Jericho. The walls. So the Lord says, no problem, we can handle this. We're just a group of people, we don't have any weapons. Get in a line, put the kids out front, and march around the city once. Don't make a sound. With the kids, don't make a sound. You got to be kidding me. Have you ever gone to junior church? They never have no make a sound. So they march around the first day. Everybody's silent. Nothing happens. Second day, nothing happens. How many days do they march around? Anybody know?
Seven.
Seven days keeping the kids quiet. And on the seventh day, they say, shout. And they shout a victory. And what happens to the walls? It says they came tumbling down flat. I heard one interpretation that not one rock was left on top of it. It fell down flat. That means everyone was, and they could just march right in. But these miracles are nice. But I want to talk about the greatest miracle of all. All these miracles that we spoke about today had a natural part to them. The greatest miracle was strictly the love of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we call that Easter. And Jesus was crucified on Good Friday. I read something recently about that, and we can't even imagine what Jesus endured. You know, we say, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. We don't even begin to grasp what we made him do. But the angel came and sat on the wall, on a rock, and rolled it away. The women came first to the tomb, and they saw the tomb was empty. They ran back to the house. Peter and John came running to the tomb, peeked inside, saw it was empty. And then the women leave, but Mary stayed there. Mary stayed there, knelt down, looked into the tomb, and spoke to the angels. Then somebody comes up behind her, and she doesn't know who it is. She thinks it's the gardener, and she thinks he's stolen her body. And he calls, and Jesus says one word. It says, Mary. Now here's the key. Mary is facing the tomb, which symbolizes death and sin and everything negative. Where's Jesus? Behind her. She had to repent. She had to turn away from sin. And somebody said that the tomb was probably facing west, which was night, and that sunrise was behind her. And she turned around, and there was the sunlight, and there was Jesus, her Savior. Have you turned around? Have you turned around and looked behind you? Has Jesus called your name? The greatest miracle that could ever occur is Jesus calling your name specifically. Turn around and embrace him and have your life changed. You do the natural. Jesus did the supernatural. He loves you very much. Whether the miracles would be included in the Bible don't really matter. What really matters is that the resurrection is included. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the miracles that are included, but I thank you that the greatest miracle that is included is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray that each person here today would know of that and sense that and rejoice in Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. Amen.